I want to welcome Gemma from Extreme into the studio. Good morning.
Morning.
What's happening at Extreme at the moment?
We have had a busy month and we've got a busy month ahead. Mm. Last Friday we had Kahu's Couture, the grand reveal.
Right.
It was just a chance for the team to like put more of a showcase on all of the secondhand clothes that are in the shop and like the really good quality stuff that comes through.
Right, all the cool stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's always cool stuff. That's the thing. There's always such an abundance of clothing. So we decided to take some photos around the site of the team and some of the gems, and then we put them all out in the shop on Friday, and it was really nice. There was... there's always good music, but there's some really fun bangers on, and the site was a bit busier. And there's some really fun treasures that found new homes.
I reckon there's a skill, which I certainly don't have, to, like, you look at racks of secondhand clothes and you're like, I don't know what to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a skill to finding and combining things and creating kind of cool, eclectic outfits.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, this is not anything I can help with, but I just know that that's a thing.
Yeah, that's definitely a skill the team have got up at in Kahu's Nest. Flynn, who was up there, who kind of had the vision and paired all the outfits together, and the rest of the team helped get, you know, the shoes and the accessories and everything together. It was really cool to see kind of their vision of it all coming together.
Have you been shopping at Kahu's Nest now that you've...
Yeah, I've got some new jeans, which is nice.
Okay.
My mending pile is getting really big, and I haven't got around to like fixing all the holes in my jeans. So,
you've got some helpful to
have
jeans.
Helpful to have jeans without holes in them, and some overalls.
Yeah, and tell us about the jersey you're wearing. It's got these fluffy balls sewed onto it, like they're an inch diameter. Are they?
Yeah.
What are they made of? Felt or something?
They're little felt pom poms. It's like my midwinter Christmas jumper when I'm feeling, you know, we're in the midst, well, coming up to the new year, Māori New Year. But it's cold. It's dark. It's nice to wear fun clothes.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, what would just be a fairly plain blue jersey has been transformed into a kind of a Christmas tree event.
Mm, it's really horrible to wash, so it's also a good excuse to never wash it.
Okay.
I found this one secondhand as well. So it's nice having things, like, and then people kind of ask about where things came from, and you just keep reminding everyone, shop secondhand, it's where you find all the good gems.
So did you get that here, or was that where you worked down in Wellington?
This was down in Wellington. Yeah, it's been with me for a while.
Is there different stuff in Wellington that turns up in the recycle shops than in Raglan?
There's so much more hunting and fishing stuff that turns up here. Wellington, there's lots of lots of more formal stuff, because there's just like heaps of people who are working in the public sector down there that have like, you know, fair bit more disposable income, and they just lots of that more formal like pant and shirt wear and stuff
suits
turns
and
up. But some of it's really fun, you know, like it's all really fun colours and bright prints and materials. It's not like people are just wearing like black and white all day. Yeah,
I've heard that down in Queenstown and Wanaka that there's lots of rich people go on ski holidays there and can't be bothered bringing the clothes they've got with them home, and they just dump them at the recycle centres there. But it means good shopping.
Yeah.
Quality shopping, yeah.
Yeah. But they did a similar drop a while ago as well, Wanaka Wastebusters. They got everyone in, promoted that lots of the ski gear was going to be available on a Friday or a weekend. And you could see from what they shared online, they had big swoop into the shop, and it just creates a really nice atmosphere, like celebrating all that quality secondhand stuff.
Yeah. And I like the way the couch is set up when you come in, like there's a lounge there. And I was there with Jordan, my daughter, and one of her friends, and I had seen everything I wanted to see, and they were still trying on clothes, so I just went and sat there on the couch for a while, and then people I knew would come in and come and have a chat. And there was a guy buying a chair that would look like a pretty cool chair. He'd broken his friend's one, he'd found one that matched it. So
it's a nice place to observe, eh? The team have set up the shop really nicely at the moment. Yeah. Hopefully a couch to come back in the library soon as well, if you're feeling antisocial and you want to hide out the back.
Yeah, I understand that there's extensions happening. Are we allowed to say that?
They're a work in progress, but they're on the way.
Things are happening.
There's always things in progress. That's the nature of the place, I guess.
Yeah. All right, so that's Kahu's Couture.
Yeah, so that was last Friday we had that. So there's a drop coming up, but we haven't confirmed when. So still just keep making it up to the shop. There's still lots of treasures up
there. So they'll be going back on another day to combine some more items with people.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, yeah. So look forward to that, folks. But there's always a rack with cool items on anyway.
Yeah, there's always the staff pick rack as well. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, look out for that one, folks. Plastic Free July is coming up soon.
Just looking at the dates. Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that rolls around the 1st of July. So it's been running for quite a while now. Like, I looked up the other day, it's since 2011 and it started in Australia.
Yeah.
But it's become a really well-known, like, international environmental campaign. So it's kind of, again, just a spotlight put on the month of July on all of the plastic that we are exposed to or we consume in our lives. And, like, plastic's really helpful, but it's also really...
there's a lot of it.
There's so much of it, and there's a lot of it that we can avoid. So, like, the focus of Plastic Free July is, like, seeing if there's any changes you can make in your family or your workplace or in your school of any of that unavoidable stuff that turns up.
Did you see my eyes just go down and check out your water bottle down there?
Yeah.
Metal bottle, bit of wood on it. That was naughty of me, really.
I came in before and I've got my keychain.
Yeah.
And I remember last Plastic Free July, I was like, I really want to get better with, like, takeaway containers. Because, you know, like, if you're popping into town, you're often getting takeaways because you are there for the convenience of it. But I just feel really crap whenever I'd end up with... like containers that couldn't be recycled because they're not a number 1, 2, or 5 plastic, you know, or they're kind of those paper fiber mixes that can't be composted or recycled either. So anyway, on my keychain when it came to Plastic Free July, I like wedged one of those little sushi fish on it. And then whenever I went out, I'd like see this little sushi fish on my keychain. And I would be like, that's a prompt in my brain to be like, do I have my containers? Like, different prompts work for different folks. Like, sometimes having something on your phone or just putting extra containers in your car, you know, helps make that shift. But it's just thinking, like, focusing on one thing is a helpful place to start. Otherwise, you just get into... overload.
Yeah, well, you might want some cloth bags. I know I always want some cloth bags in the car. I never think about it until I'm there.
Yeah. So chuck a little piece of cloth on your keychain. figure out like what might help to prompt your brain, or doing it with your household or doing it with your workmates helps as well, because then there's kind of that collective input.
Can I go back to one thing you said before? It's just to remind people, so the cardboard food containers are not recyclable because?
Well, lots of them, if they are designed to hold hot food or liquid, you'll see they kind of have that shiny gloss on them.
Yeah.
And so that's like a water resistant polymer, which is essentially like a plastic coating that's been put on it.
Yeah.
And so this item's kind of a squished mix of cardboard or fiber and plastic. And so because it's got plastic in there, we don't want it in the cardboard recycling because it's not going to add any value when it gets cardboard gets recycled. It kind of gets like pulped and heated down, and then all the plastic stuff gets separated out. So it's not good quality. It's not adding to any of the cardboard we're trying to recycle.
It feels better when you've got a brown cardboard container than a plastic one.
Yeah,
but actually, the plastic one is better because it can be recycled.
If it's a number 1, 2, or 5,
yes,
yeah. But that's why it's just really good to like know what kind of packaging you've got. If you've got any of that packaging that's got the little green strip around it, and it's a number 7 on the bottom.
Yeah.
And it's often called like bio or compostable packaging. That is not recyclable either. So it's not a solution because it can't be recycled with our recycling infrastructure here in NZ.
Somebody somewhere might be able to do it, but that's no use to us.
No, no. So, and it's not, it can't go in our curbside compost either because it's not a fully like plant-based material, and it takes ages for that to break down.
Mm.
So that's why the best thing, it's always like looking to that top of the waste hierarchy, like bringing your own containers or sitting in and enjoying.
Yes, we need to do better at that.
And you don't need like real fancy containers or anything. Like there's so many options you can use, you know, anything that you have lying around home. There's heaps and heaps of good reusable plastic or like stainless steel Tupperware that's up at Kahoos or other secondhand shops. Like you don't have to invest in real fancy stuff. It's just like thinking what you do have and trying to use those to refill rather than those takeaway containers that can't actually be recycled or repurposed into anything else.
Okay. Now, can I ask you about your earrings?
Yes. What do they look like to you?
They are round, over an inch wide, red base with little flecks of colour in it, which I've been wondering if it's recycled plastic is why I'm asking.
So, like, they're actually, it's a really lightweight, like, clay, but I often get asked if they're salami. People are like, oh, do you have salami on
And then the
ears?
Colours are painted on.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I was thinking it was some crazy thing where someone had melted down plastic and created something like
there
that.
There are really awesome creatives who do make repurposed jewellery out of recycled plastic like that.
Yes.
And some of them are really beautiful, but now these, I just found these and they're kind of like really lightweight clay.
They are quite lightweight, yeah, because they look heavy, but they're not.
Nah, they're, I you could get asked if I'm German because they're like, why do you have salami on your ears?
Okay, fair enough. If that's what people are asking, that's what they're asking. I don't know why. But, well, yeah, no, I do know why, but
yeah.
And maybe because you have blonde hair, you might be
look a bit German.
A bit German. Yeah. Not really.
Nah.
There's a different vibe, I feel, yeah. Moving on, though, quickly from there. Landfill, are we finished with Plastic Free July, though? What else did you want to say?
If you're looking for any like inspiration on like committing to an action for the month, or you just want to look more, like there's Plastic Free July. Like if you just search that on social media or online, they've got this kind of 31-day map, which gives heaps and heaps of ideas of simple switches you could make and committing to one of those. Or else there's Plastic Free July Aotearoa, which is like the New Zealand-based movement. And they kind of follow a week-by-week suggestion structure. So like week one's the kitchen, week two is the bathroom. So it's kind of looking like, oh, do I have plastic that's turning up in my bathroom that I might want to make a switch on, or in the kitchen, or out on the go. So looking to either two of those sites, they have so many resources and it's like quite easy information to access.
So if you're really committed, you can go and try and eradicate every little piece of plastic everywhere. But at the other end of things, what's the next big thing that we would like to eradicate? Like we've got rid of single-use plastic bags mostly, and plastic straws seem to be disappearing.
Yeah, yeah, and single-use plastic cutlery's been phased out as well.
So but what's next?
Polystyrene. Polystyrene packaging.
That's actually huge.
Is the next phase out, but it's kind of stalled with our current government on the legislative phase out of that.
Probably stalled with the last one, didn't it, when Chris Hipkins became PM and
wanted
to stop everything from happening anywhere.
Yeah. So, looking at that, like those kind of polystyrene clamshell or like, that packaging you get that the hot food goes in.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's to come with the next wave of legislation. But, yeah, looking
when
at
we get,
just,
when we get a new government.
Yeah, but in the meantime, we can still keep going with the change. It's like there's still lots of single-use, like one-item pieces of packaging, particular food that we all use day to day. Like, there's still lots of single-use coffee cups that get used here in Whangaroa Raglan, still lots of single-use packaging that can't be recycled.
Are there any single-use cups that can be recycled? I guess they're plastic, but who's going to have their coffee in a plastic cup?
Yeah, no
one. Like a thin plastic wall, it'd be too hot.
None of them can. So again, it's that squished mix of, it looks kind of like cardboard, but it's got plastic, water-repelling, like plastic squished into that mix that makes it able to hold the hot liquid.
Yeah.
And so, like, we don't have recycling facilities or machines that, like, separate out that squished mix of cardboard and of plastic.
It would take a factory and a lot of energy to do that
exactly.
Anyway, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so it can't be recycled as cardboard and it can't be recycled as plastic, so it's landfill. So those are the easy switches to be like, if you can bring your reusables or sit down and enjoy, then you're going to save heaps of money, not only because you get discounts often with lots of our,
cafes.
Eateries and cafes here in Whangaroa, but also you're not going to put it in your landfill bag, so it's going to make it cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of landfill, we want to talk about that as well. So are there's some changes coming with government costs, and is it this on 1st of July as well?
Yeah, so the 1st of July as well. It's all happening next Monday after we've had a nice, relaxing, long weekend. Each year, over the past years, our government's usually decided to increase the landfill levy, which is essentially like a fee that any landfill operator in New Zealand, you have to pay a fee for any tonne of landfill going into landfill. And that all gets collected up and then it goes out into waste minimisation initiatives. So some of those are distributed like locally, like and managed by our local council here, and some of those are nationally distributed out. So what that means is that it's bumping up the cost of landfill each year, and then trying to redirect that money back into waste minimisation programs.
So how much is the levy now?
It's $60 per ton.
And it's going to be.
Yeah, it's currently $50 per ton, and it's bumping up to $60.
And it was something like 10 a few years ago, I think.
Yeah, so it's gradually increasing each year, but New Zealand actually has a really low levy rate compared to Australia or the UK. Like, theirs are like 100 plus on any ton, but they also have, you know, different infrastructure that potentially supports, like, you know, recycling and reusing. You know, we're still kind of catching up to that here in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, what that's meaning for us here in Whangaroa is that our landfill prices are increasing. So if you're coming up to site, it's bumping up to $116 like per cubic metre. So it's going up $6. It's currently at $110.
Yeah.
And then prepaid bag prices are going up as well,
okay,
along with the wheelie bins of landfill that we service all of our businesses across town with.
How much are the blue bags going to be? Have you got that one?
So at Kahu's Nest, they are going to be $4.95 for one of the blue 60 litres. And then you can always have a green 30 litres if you're not producing as much or not putting as much waste out regularly. So those are $3.10. So that's inclusive of GST.
Okay. You're saying at Kahu's Nest because other shops sell them, but they might put their own markup on it?
Yeah, so they... Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's from next Monday, the 1st.
Okay. Do you realise now some people are going to be rushing up? Well,
yeah,
maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually not that big a jump.
No, I think it's about...
It's like 10. A 5% jump, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
In costs, yeah, that's not huge.
Still cheaper than a cup of coffee here in Whangaroa. Well, it depends where you go to, that's also a thing, and what you drink. But, it is putting all of that waste into landfill forever, you know, like it's, that's managing for a blue prepaid bag for it to be picked up, you know, transported and contained like in a landfill site forever. Yeah, it's
well, this discussion about what forever means for the landfill site.
Yeah.
I know when John Lawson was in the studio here the other day, he was talking about that ideally in other countries they have, they put the cost on the manufacturer of the item when it gets manufactured.
Yeah.
They have to build in the cost of disposing it there, and that's a little more effective that our government should be doing that.
Yeah.
It's... I know you didn't plan to talk about this, but is anyone working on this in this country, trying to get that kind of legislation in?
Yeah, so we commonly call that like a product stewardship scheme. Yeah. And there's movement within there's pressure, I guess, for lots of electrical waste or electrical items to be designed that way. So they're designed that they can either be easily repaired, or then that the end-of-life recycling process, you know, that's absorbed by the producer of that item, so you're not having to pay heaps of money to, like, recycle when your phone eventually dies, or eventually, like, the kettle or toaster or refrigerator dies. You know, that's already been absorbed by the cost of the producer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that forces them to design it in a way where it can be recycled, parts can be reused and things like that.
Yeah, we used to have, like, really great design, like, with Fisher & Paykel and stuff in those years back. Like, you know, things we have had it. Yeah, yeah, but... hopefully we're moving back towards that, but it's really slow. It's really slow.
Yeah, see, Fisher & Paykel's here. I thought we might benefit from overseas companies who are overseas companies that are in countries where they have that legislation. They're already doing it, and so that stuff will just come here. But even then, I guess, if they don't have a factory here, that's no use, is it?
Mm. Standardised, charging ports is on the way. So all phones and electrical devices are going to move towards, like, standardized charging points. Yeah.
I didn't think that was ever going to be possible.
it makes it easier.
That really surprises me.
Yeah, yeah. So we will see that.
Well, even Apple is going to conform?
They'll have to, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, folks, we've been talking to Gemma from Extreme. Anything else you want to leave us with there, Gemma?
Last point. We have one position open on our board of directors at the moment. So applications are open. There's information on our social media, on Instagram or Facebook, or on the website as well. Anything featuring in the Chronicle this week. So there's information on the role and the job there, but essentially any questions, or if you're interested in applying, there's an email contact team@extremezerowaste.org.nz, and that's the best spot to go to for info.
Okay. All right, Gemma, thanks for coming in.